Well, in this session, I'd like to talk to you about sowing and reaping, or we might entitle this, Why Pay When You Can Sow? And we have some new revelation. We've been dribbling that out on the air over the last month, 6 weeks, and we've talked about it in some of our meetings. But we'd like to tell you that you can stop renting your life, and so many of you are in bondage to debt, and the Word of God does say that the borrower is the lender's slave, and I, for one, want to get totally out of slavery. I want to get those credit cards paid off. Matter of fact, we have all of our credit cards paid off, thank the Lord. We do have to keep a few cards to travel because if I call up and I want a rental car or I want an air ticket or whatever, the only way I can buy that really is with a credit card. But we pay that off every month, praise the Lord. But I want to stop renting my life and get in charge of my life. And when the Bible says you're not your own, you were bought with a price, well, Satan would also like to buy you out with a price. And his whole deal is to starve you out. He wants to keep you in debt. And what we have really is the world system versus God's system. And if you get keyed into the world system, you'll always be in debt. Now, there's some things that you can do when you get in debt. And the world talks about that on television all the time and in radio and newspapers and things that come to your house. Well, why don't you finance? Why don't you refinance? Why don't you take those high-interest credit cards and borrow against your mortgage or borrow against your equity in your home? Put a second mortgage on your home is really what they're trying to get you to do. Well, that's another way for the Satan to keep you in bondage to more debt. And I had a man in real estate tell me, oh, I don't know, it must have been 30 years ago, he said, Darren, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. Now, what is that saying? It's saying that you have to have profit or surplus at some point to pay off that debt. Or you'll always be reorganizing your debt. Maybe you get one credit card and you try to pay off another credit card and then you get a brand new credit card and pretty soon you're using Visa to pay off MasterCharge and MasterCharge to pay off Discover and the beat goes on. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I've had acquaintances come to me and say, Darren, we had to take bankruptcy. We were in $80,000 on credit cards. And I thought, how tragic, but I know how that happens. Because when that credit card statement comes, maybe you charged last month, you charged $300 on your card. You're a little short when the bill comes, so you pay the minimum payment of $15. Well, if you do that, you are digging your grave with plastic. I don't know how better to say that. And you keep getting in debt, and they keep adding on interest to that. And so we become subservient to the home mortgage companies, to the credit card companies, to Visa, MasterCharge, Discover, American Express, and the beat goes on. So again, I'm telling you, the borrower is the lender's slave, and we Christians need to get out of slavery. And Barbara, I'm telling you, I want to be a good Samaritan with resources. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The story of the good Samaritan, the fellow came along, and, you know, it said the scribes and the Pharisees passed by and heard one guy say in rather a comedic way, the reason they didn't stop is they could see the guy had already been robbed, so there's no sense for them to stop. But I'd like to be able to find that person that really is in need and have more than just compassion, more than just a pat on the head and saying, hey, brother, you know, a few encouraging words, which you should give anyway. But I want to have resources. I want to have discretionary funds so if dollars are needed, I can help that person.
Yes.
You agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. I'm glad we agree. Well, why don't we free ourselves from debt and from slavery? I've come to realize that debt is a root spirit of being in debt. So we have to take that root spirit of debt and take our authority that we have in Jesus Christ and command that spirit to get out of our house, to get out of our checkbook, to get out of our finances, to get away from that home mortgage payment and the car payment and everything else, and kick that root spirit, which is the cause of our debt and our encumbrance, get that out of your house and get that out of your life, and you do it this way. You say, spirit of debt, I command you in the name of Jesus to get up and get out of my house, get away from my bills, get away from my creditors. And I believe that we're not just deceived. Sometimes we're just stupid. We just don't get up and say, I have something to say about this. I'm going to get out of this. I am going to get out of debt.
I believe what the devil does is he dumbs down people so much they don't want to hear and they don't want to see. And Jesus specifically said that in Matthew 13 before the parable of the sower. He said, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And Darren, if I've ever seen dullness, it's in today's people. They'll do exactly what you said. They take that credit card bill and say, well, I can't believe for something coming in the next couple weeks before I have to pay this, so I'm going to pay minimum. And they've become dull in their understanding, in their hearing, in their seeing. And Jesus said here, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them. Because we know if they return, God's going to heal them. He's a healer.
We know even before that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, in fact, verse 10, and Jesus had been speaking about the parable of the sowing and the reaping, and he talked about three kinds of soil not being good soil, and only one soil was good soil, produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. Then he went on, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Because he was giving parables. It's a parabolic explanation all through several chapters here. And Jesus answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it was not granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. He who has an abundance, But whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. That sounds like double talk, but I believe you have to understand that in the spirit and in the natural. Now, I believe that we've been made in God's Jesus' image and likeness. And some people say, well, all I got was the finger. No, you got the whole thing, and you got the mysteries, but you haven't had the knowledge, the revelative knowledge to explain them. You have something else on that scripture?
Well, I believe when somebody doesn't sow at all, whatever harvest he could have gotten, he doesn't get it all because he's not sown. And I believe Jesus is very specific here. Whoever has, to him shall more be given, so he can sow more and more and more. And to him who doesn't have, you know, we've walked out of some conversations with believers. This is not the world. These are believers. And we've wondered, how can they function in this world? I mean, they are so dulled. It's like all emotions have been drained out of them. They have no kind of reaction, no kind of excitement about serving the Lord. They're absolutely monotone in their speech. And we walk away shaking our heads and say, how can they even function in this world? And I'm not talking about worldly people, Darren. I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians or believers.
You know, and all through this teaching, I'm going to say this, that we have the opportunity to change. We have the option to change. You don't have to stay where you are. And some of you that are listening to this message today have been doing the loop for years. You've been going around and around. It's like Pastor Mike Maiden explained in a service that we were in down in Scottsdale, Arizona. Awesome minister of the gospel. He said, some of you people have been going around that mountain so long, you've cut a group so deep, you're right up now to your chin. And all you can see is dirt. Well, you know, if you're going to get off of that track, and if you're going to get off of this debt loop, you have to make a decision. I am going to get out of debt. I am tired of being in slavery to debt. I'm tired of renting my life. I want to start owning my life, and I want to get in charge. The first thing you need to realize is that this debt, the creditors, okay, are after you because you are in debt, and you're going to kick out that root spirit of debt that comes from the devil himself. You're going to say, and you may do what I suggested to a group in our last meeting, if you have to, turn up loud music in your house so the neighbors won't really know what you're doing, and go to the front door or the back door and say, spirit of debt, I command you to get out of here in the name of Jesus. I bind you, I forbid you from operating any longer in my household, in my finances. And I believe that we have to see it with that kind of vengeance. We have to say, you are an enemy. I have tried to manage my debt. I've tried to make friends with it. I've tried to coddle it. And this thing is strangling me, and I want out of the noose.
There are some people, Darren, that, for instance, they want a $70,000 or $75,000 debt taken care of, and they give $10. Well, how long is it going to take for them to get $70,000 to $75,000 paid off? I mean, that's not even a thousandfold. A thousandfold on $10 is $10,000. So you know that their giving is absolutely insufficient here.
What you're saying is that, yeah, they're sowing so little seed
that they're not
in the kingdom.
Yes.
And say, how, you're saying, how possibly could they get out?
That's right. And these people probably could not get a thousandfold. They don't have the faith for a thousandfold. But they're giving $10 in the offering and saying, I'm wanting $70,000 harvest. And probably their faith is at tenfold at the very maximum. So you say $10 times tenfold, that's $100, and they want $70,000.